This is the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue here where we left off last night and finish this up tonight, I hope. Should finish it with no problem during the first hour. And then we'll take your calls. So don't go away. I'll be right back. Unsung New World Army, New York Times, editorial, May 11, 1992, we found, and I quote, "The army of tomorrow is neither the Red Army nor the U.S. Army. If there is to be peace, it will be secured by a multinational force that monitors ceasefires and protects human rights. Blue-helmeted United Nations peacekeepers are doing just that," end quote. And Boutros-Ghali said this, quote, "In 1992, under Article 42 of the Charter, the Security Council has the authority to take military action to maintain or restore international peace and security. While such action should only be taken when all peaceful means have failed, the option of taking it is essential to the credibility of the United Nations as a guarantor of international security. This will require special agreements whereby member states undertake to make armed forces assistance and facilities available to the Security Council, not only on an ad hoc basis, but on a permanent basis." He said that in An Agenda for Peace, New York, United Nations, 1992, pages 16 and 25. Let me sort of straighten this out here so I can see what I'm doing. Sam Francis in New World Order's Call to Arms, Los Angeles Daily News, Tuesday, August 4th, 1992, said, quote, "If Americans would like to preserve the national independence and sovereignty they and their forebears have fought for, they need to pull down the one-world monstrosity Boutros-Ghali is planning before he and his planners have a chance to build it," end quote. Stanley Meisler and Norman Kempster in the Los Angeles Times, February the 1st, page A1, said this, quote, "United Nations world leaders meeting in the first Security Council summit in history pressed the United Nations to abandon its hallowed tradition of non-interference in the internal affairs of countries and move to protect human rights everywhere in the world. Chiefs of state and heads of government, ranging from President Bush and Russian leader Boris N. Yeltsin to Moroccan King Hassan II, declared that the world community can no longer allow advancement of fundamental rights to stop at national borders. And they suggested the United Nations should play a more active role in combating abuses, even if that means involving itself in issues that would once have been regarded as off-limits to the world body because they involved a country's internal affairs. In keeping with the more activist vision most of the assembled leaders appeared to share, French President François Mitterrand called for establishment of a new United Nations rapid deployment force that could intervene in trouble spots around the globe. The gathering of 6 prime ministers, 5 presidents, 1 king, 1 chancellor, and 2 foreign ministers underscored the call for a new direction by assigning Boutros Ghali to prepare a report on ways to strengthen, quote, the capacity of the United States nations for preventive diplomacy, for peacekeeping, and for peacemaking, end quote. Norman Kempster said in the Los Angeles Times on February the 1st, page A6, quote, United Nations, creating a standing army under the control of the United Nations Security Council would give the world organization a military punch it has never had before and could convert it into a full-time international police department. The proposal for such a force, advanced by French President François Mitterrand and immediately endorsed by Russian President Boris N. Yeltsin and the Hungarian government, would permit the Security Council to act on short notice to stop atrocities. The plan would mark the transformation of the Security Council from a Cold War hobbled debating society to an organization with the power to enforce its decisions and to prevent breaches of the peace before they have a chance to get started. Presumably, the force that Mitterrand envisions would operate under the command of the United Nations Military Staff Committee, a little-known and up-to-now impotent panel of military officers from the Security Council's 5 permanent members, the United States, Britain, France, Russia, and China. Yeltsin quickly took him up on it. We need a special quick response mechanism to ensure peace and stability. Upon decision of the Security Council, it could be expeditiously activated in areas of crisis, end quote. Robin Wright said in the Los Angeles Times on August 25th, World Report, page 1, quote, on a third and more sweeping level, the new lines on a map will be produced by fundamental changes in the rule of states, largely in response to economic and social pressures and political alienation, commented George Dimko, a geographer and director of the Rockefeller Center at Dartmouth College. The current changes in the political and economic geography of the world are as significant as what the world went through after the Treaty of Westphalia, the 1648 peace accord ending Europe's 30 years' war and a turning point in the rise of modern states. As we're challenging the traditional ideas of state sovereignty, globalizing economics and communications, and breaking up the last empires, the geography of the world is unhooking old connections and hooking up new ones. Along with borders, the dynamics and functions of states will change too. And the countries that emerge from the process may bear little resemblance to today's states. For example, many states won't have armies, only police, and some new states will allow dual citizenship with former host countries. Stratified system of governance and power is likely to replace traditional states. At the top will be a stronger United Nations, or an equivalent body responsible for peace, environment, and other global issues, explained Julia Mingi, United States representative to the IGU Commission on the World Political Map. The second tier will be regional grouping, like the European Community, but also including others dealing with issues like trade, migration, and possibly even connective security arrangements at the regional level. That may include joint parliaments. The latest is the new Continental Pact forming the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, completed earlier this month among the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and awaiting confirmation by those countries' legislatures. In the Americas, Brazil breaks up into 3 autonomous pieces. Canada, as it has been known, disappears altogether. Mexico separates into four or more distinct pieces, and over time, even the United States takes on different form. In the longer term, the political geographers think the importance of borders will actually wane as economic and technological interdependence span not only states, but continents. Henry Kissinger, in Evian, France, on May 21, 1992, describing his vision of the chain of events which will bring about their new world order, as reported in Pat Riot's information newsletter, issue 22, fall of 1994. Henry Kissinger, former U.S. Secretary of State, is a founding member of the Trilateral Commission, former National Security Advisor, and a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And he said, and I quote, "Today, Americans would be outraged if United Nations troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there were an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government," end quote. And for those of you who may be naive in your thinking, or may be ignorant of what's going on around you, he's talking about little green men from space, the external threat from beyond. The United States Department of State Dispatch, March 29th, Volume 4, Number 1, page 185, says, quote, "The Open Skies Treaty provides that all of the territory of participating states must be open to observation. No exceptions are permitted for national security purposes. Observation flights will follow routes set by the observing party," end quote. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that all of the other nations of the world who are party to this treaty, including all of the old enemies of the United States, Russia, the Eastern Bloc nations, all of them, have total access to overfly and photograph and listen to and monitor all of the top secret test sites within the United States of America, including Area 51. American citizens aren't even allowed to know that it exists, much less even take a look at it. So who are they hiding what they're doing from? Stephen S. Rosenfeld, The Washington Post, July 9th, page A21. Quote, "Phase 2 of United Nations peacekeeping has begun." If you read State Department document 7277, you'll see that stage 3 is the ominous state where they come and disarm everyone and throw people into prison. And this is not conjecture, it's fact. All documented, every single bit of it. News and World Report, August 30th, September 6th, page 15. Quote, 20th century Americans have commanded multitudes of foreign troops in World War II, in Korea, in NATO, but few foreigners have ever commanded Americans. That will change if Boutros-Ghali has his way. The United Nations Secretary General wants America to create a standing force that the United Nations can call on and command. Bill Clinton likely will sign a directive in September giving Boutros-Ghali part, but only part of what he wants. The United States, if the change is made, will promise to permit its troops to join operations led by foreign generals, as it did this year in Somalia, to satisfy congressional critics. The administration is suggesting that U.S. troops be allowed to disobey ill-conceived orders, but that could prove unworkable, end quote. Barton Gellman, in the Washington Post, September 9, 1993, page 1, wrote, and I quote, "In another milestone of cautious friendship between old Cold War enemies, U.S. and Russian defense leaders yesterday agreed to train two of their heavy combat divisions together for combined peacekeeping operations. The training, likely to be performed in Russia, Germany, and the continental United States, would be the first exercises of any kind involving the ground forces of the world's two most powerful armies. A handful of previous cooperative contacts between United States and Russian forces beginning in 1988 and accelerating with the breakup of the Soviet Union in 1992, have taken place mainly in passing exercises between warships at sea. Partly for that reason, the Clinton administration is eager to foster a much broader range of contacts that would give large parts of the Russian military a stake in cooperation. More remarkably, perhaps, Grachev surprised Aspin in private talks yesterday by saying he would like to see deployment of Russian and American troops together in an actual peacekeeping operation. One official said Aspin welcomed the idea enthusiastically, adding that there is a real prospect that Russians or Americans might operate one day under the command of their former chief adversary. Equally new for the Russians was a Grachev proposal that the two countries exchange officers in military service schools, including the top-level Russian General Staff Academy. Russian officers would also attend advanced American military schools for captains, majors, and colonels. This has all been done, ladies and gentlemen. In the Los Angeles Times Metro News, September 1st, page B8, and I quote, passed and sent to the governor on a 42-22 vote, a bill, AB 1587, by Assemblyman Richard Katz, Democrat, Sylmar, to allow Los Angeles County supervisors to consolidate the Sheriff's Department and the Marshal's Department to save an estimated $10 million to $15 million a year, end quote. Leonard Larson in the Star Tribune, September 10th, page 17A, wrote, and I quote, the Brady Bill would be akin to a nationwide ban on assault rifles, an honest start on a long and difficult journey to where we must go. That place is the disarming of America in laws that will restrict and prohibit, where necessary, the manufacture of handguns and other designated firearms, their import, sale, interstate transfer, ownership, possession, and use. On the way to an eventual disarming of America, other steps. A part of that craziness is also the warning that all American households ought to be armed against invasion, not just from lurking criminals, but from commie infiltrators, foreigners of all kinds who would attack us, neighbors with bad attitudes, and even our own government. The danger in all the good intent of the Brady Bill is that it might end for the indefinite future any prospect that Congress, from which not much is ever expected, would confront the real need to get rid of the handguns to disarm America, end quote. In the United Nations Chronicle, United Nations Department of Public Information, Volume 30, Number 1, March, page 29, quote, the General Assembly is facing an history challenge to truly become a functional world parliament on the basis of the United Nations Charter, end quote. And in the United Nations Chronicle, United Nations Department of Public Information, Volume 30, Number 1, March, page 35, quote, one by one, they stood at the familiar green marble podium, many stressing that the United Nations must become truly effective and swiftly responsive to the New World Order, end quote. And in the United Nations Chronicle, United Nations Department of Public Information, Volume 30, Number 1, March 1993, page 45. Agreement was widespread for the creation of a new international order. A new world order could come about only through concrete steps agreed by the vast majority of the international community, said Foreign Minister Mohammad Sadiq Khan Kanju of Pakistan. The United Nations was the only forum where we can concert our actions to construct new arrangements for global peace and prosperity. In conclusion, Eduardo Faliero, Minister of State for External Affairs of India, pointed out that, quote, what we need to work for is a new international order free from war, poverty, illiteracy, and injustice, end quote. And Henry Kissinger, at a conference at the Wilshire Beverly Regent Hotel on April 19, 1994, said this, quote, it, the New World Order, cannot happen without United States participation, as we are the most significant single component. Yes, there will be a New World Order, and it will force the United States to change its perceptions, end quote. Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Our people, who not only sponsor this broadcast, but are backing wholeheartedly and 100% the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, and who have taken a lot of hits for backing this broadcast, especially over the last 4 years and 3 months. They're people who care about America. They're people who care about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. They care about the principles and ideals which created this great nation. They care about the economy. They care about the American dream, which has all but disappeared for many young people. They care about you. Swiss America Trading, led by Craig Smith, has over the years taken a solid, firm stance. They've drawn their line in the sand. They have decided to back what is right rather than what is most profitable, and they have done so. They've lost an awful lot of potential customers and business over the years because of this stand, but this is exactly what every American must do. If you don't, if we don't, take a stand. Draw that line in the sand. We will continue to lose and lose and lose until there is nothing left. Now, 20 years ago, people were telling me, ladies and gentlemen, that we would never reach this point. 10 years ago, they laughed when you even suggested it. In 1988, I was branded the biggest wacko kook nut in the whole world and had to travel 1,000 miles just to get 3 people to even listen to what I had to say, if I could find 3 people who were that open-minded. So you see, we've come a long way since then. But not just because of people like me. It's because people can now look around and see that what we've been telling them over the years would happen has indeed come true. And they can look back and listen to my speeches and my radio broadcasts and see that every solid prediction that I have ever made has come true. In fact, I've only been wrong about a major event on one occasion. And that's when I said Manuel Noriega could not be tried or convicted in an American court of law because we had no jurisdiction and no right or authority to go to a foreign country, kidnap the head of that country, bring them to this country, and then try them. Their diplomats representing them in this country have diplomatic immunity. And according to the law, so does the head of any nation, whether he's in his own country or in this country, representing his country or visiting or attending the United Nations or whatever. But I was wrong. And the fact that I was wrong meant that the conditions were even worse than I had anticipated. Things had deteriorated to the point where not even the President of the United States is safe from arrest by the military forces of another country. You see, 200 years ago, that would never have been done. 300 years ago, it could not have been done, would not have been done. There has, over the years, evolved an international law which says that, very simply, you don't touch the leaders because then you have no one to negotiate with. It appears now that no one is safe. No one is safe from the New World Order. There are no sovereign nations left in this world. There are no sovereign people. There is no diplomatic immunity. It appears that whoever has the biggest gun can do whatever they want to whomever they wish to do it to, as long as they are representing this new world order. And in fact, if they had a despotic bone in their body, could actually become the New World Order. that may be exactly what is happening. If you want to protect yourself, at least economically, from the chaos that is coming, and it is coming, if you don't want to find yourself destitute, and when I say destitute, folks, I mean it in the utmost, most strict sense of the meaning of the word. You and your family could find yourself sitting in a ditch, water up to your waist, starving, afraid to move because of the hostility of those around you. If you don't have the means to protect yourself, if you don't have the money, and I mean real money, to buy safe passage or pay to save the lives of one or more of your family members, or to purchase food or clothing or shelter. The only real money that's ever existed in the history of the world have been commodities. You see, when everything breaks down, there's only two things that are ever recognized as money, and that's gold and silver coin, or gold and silver in other forms, but it's suspicious in those forms, and goods and services for barter. Which means if you have somebody who's addicted to coffee and they can't get coffee and you've got some coffee, if he's stronger and bigger and has a weapon, he could kill you for it. If you have a method to protect your coffee and yourself, you can use that coffee for barter, because those people would probably give you anything for a cup of coffee. Same with cigarettes. There will come a time when tampons will be probably one of the most valuable things to women. And ladies and gentlemen, you better listen to what I'm telling you, because it's the truth. How do I know this? I go back and look at history. And I see what was valuable to people at times when society collapsed around them. When invading armies left destitution and burned everything in their path. When governments fell, and in the transition from one government to another, or in the transition from being a conquered nation to an occupied nation, a state of chaos and anarchy erupted for a time. And you too can discover these things if you read history. If you don't want to get caught in this kind of scenario, ladies and gentlemen, I sincerely suggest that you call Swiss America Trading and take care of the economic side of your protection. You must have some real money. And you must have something to protect that real money. You must have a source of spiritual nourishment and inspiration. You must have a food supply, hidden, well hidden. Those of you who already have big stocks of food storage and preserves, you are foolish if you tell your neighbors that you have them, or if you have shown anyone. In times of utter societal breakdown, chaos, and anarchy, family members have been known to turn upon brothers or fathers or mothers or children and kill them. Procrastinate, we all do. 1-800-289-2646. Ask for Frank. If he's not in, talk to anyone. Ask for the current issue of their newsletter. Ask for the latest paper that Craig Smith has written. Thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time and for backing the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. 1-800-289-2646. Call now. You'll be glad that you did. A great weight will come off your shoulders. You will feel a lot better. 1-800-289-2646. open the phones now, ladies and gentlemen. I have already lined up. We already have three broadcasts on this network. Of course, Gary Bourgeois' show on Friday nights. We have another show that's five nights a week from 6 to 7 Eastern time on the satellite. There's the Hour of the Time. Michael Cottingham will be doing a show about herbs and natural remedy, natural medicine, plants, and all of that kind of stuff. And he's the very best that I have ever encountered, ladies and gentlemen, and so honest that it's almost sickening. But that's exactly what we need. Michael is a wonderful, wonderful human being, and I think you're going to enjoy his broadcast very, very much. We also expect that, we're negotiating with Jackie Patru, who may be coming on as a broadcaster on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. And there are or will be others. If you are considering or would like to broadcast on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, please write me a letter or give me a call and let me know. And I'll be happy to help you in any way that I can get started. Our rates, you'll find, are the lowest there are. No one can give you the rates that we can give you to broadcast anywhere. I don't care where it is. It just doesn't happen. The potential to grow. Our rates, as far as I can see, in the foreseeable future, are not going to increase. However, they could down the road. They're still going to be lower than anybody else, even if we do have to increase our rates. And I'm not going to announce the rates over the radio because that's strictly between the network and those who would like to purchase broadcast time. And we do have some other restrictions. We cannot allow rumors. We cannot allow people to get on and just, do what a lot of people are doing on a lot of other broadcasts across this country. It's not going to happen on the Freedom Radio Network. This is going to be the network where people will listen and know that they're going to hear the truth. And we're still, even though we know that, we're still going to give you that admonition. Read everything, listen to everyone, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own investigation. We're going to open the phones now, ladies and gentlemen, because I finished all of those quotes. I didn't realize that I would finish so quickly, but I did. So we'll go to the phones. 520-333-4578 is the number, and the phones will be open for the next hour and 23 minutes. That's 520-333-4578. Also, if you would like to become a part of this network as an affiliate broadcasting station, low power, FM, please write us a letter. Address your letter to Harvest, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925, and we'll let you know exactly how you can become an affiliate broadcasting station of the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. And we don't care what country you're in. You may have to figure out what the rules are in your country for broadcasting. But if there's any way that we can help you, we will. 520-333-4578. And don't forget, folks, this extended time and the hour of the time is for call-ins. And normally I would be doing something for another 23 more minutes, but this was part of a series that has completed. And it is time now to take your calls. And if I don't hear any calls, folks, if I don't get calls when we open the phones on this broadcast, I will terminate the second hour. And we will just go back to a one-hour format. And you all know me. I'm true to my word. So this phone had better start ringing right now. If it doesn't, I'm going to go off the air, and we'll begin tomorrow night with the just plain one-hour format, and we'll stick with one-hour format. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, Steve from Kalamazoo. Your audio is now excellent. We who duplicate your tapes appreciate that effort, sir.
Well, thank you. But, you know, don't ever call me right before a broadcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I jumped the gun, sir.
Yeah, just don't ever do that. Don't ever call me within an hour of the broadcast unless it's a real emergency and it's got to be one. I heard enough of what you were saying so that I did jack up the audio a little bit.
Really appreciate that. And sorry about the mistake there. A reference to your last day on WCR, you had a call-in. I wasn't able to get in, but as far as the most popular shows, and as far as the tapes of yours that have been out of the library the longest for copying, which due to your timing as far as the shows, it's the only way anybody really gets to listen to your show in this area is by tape copying. The two most popular ones were the ones Gary Bouchard ran of your very early stuff.
You mean Gary Bourgeois?
Excuse me, yes, sir.
That he ran during when?
When you were coming back from the conference.
Okay.
To go, and he went through the library and ran two of the earliest ones on the New World Order, which is an excellent, at that point, top-level summary of what's going on, because a lot of your programs of more recent date go into a lot more detail, and to a fresh listener to your series would tend to be somewhat intimidating, shall we say.
What tends to be intimidating?
The level to which the information is as far as a new listener, you know, a person who's...
Oh, yeah, I understand. That's something we always fight with because, you know, we can't continue to hold the kindergarten class when we have 12th grade
students, which is where it's at, correct?
Yeah, you know, we have to sort of span that gap without going all the way back to basics. And during this sale, you know, normally the old tapes of the hour of the time are never available because every year we close out those masters and seal them up. For this sale, all tapes of every episode of the Hour of the Time that has ever been done are now on sale for 30 days, but after that 30 days, they're going back in the vault.
Do you have a listing of briefly what the topics were, or whether they were in a series on those early tapes, Bill?
No, you'd have to write in and get the list of sale tapes and look it over yourself.
Okay, great.
I've done so many shows, I don't even remember. I just... You know what I concentrate on? Right now, I'm already thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Oh, sure. Yes. Playing chess moves ahead. You know, I had another thought as far as the time delay problem, you know, which is really inconvenient. I, of course, work during the day. It kills you to stay up to midnight here Eastern time just to start the recorder and let her run unattended. But it has to do with...
Wait a minute. You are aware now that we're broadcasting at 10 p.m.
Oh, absolutely. In the 2 hours, yeah, I have you, of course, on satellite, which the taping quality is a lot better than WWCR ever was. But I have an idea I want to run by you as far as if someone doesn't want to fool with directly the rebroadcast system, and that is you put as many of the tapes or recordings of the broadcast on a VHS tape, then you program the recorder so it'll run through the entire length of the tape, and then on the next program run through, it offsets by an hour, see? So what you're doing is you can set this thing up for a week, and a person tuning in at like the 4 to 5 o'clock time slot, for example, if they turn into at that time all week, they'll always hear a different program being rebroadcast on the low power broadcasting system.
If someone wanted to do that, I have no objection to it, but they would not be an affiliate of the network because they would have to carry network broadcasting, and of course they wouldn't be doing that if they were doing what you suggest.
Okay, I understand.
But if that's the way they would have to do it because they could not physically be present to...
Yeah, that's the idea. Totally automatic. You set it up and only check it once a week.
Hey, whatever it takes to get the word out and educate the American people.
But you got that right, and you're doing a great job on the head end, Bill. And again, I appreciate the audio level adjust. Have a great one, sir.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Good night. And thank you for your call. 520-333-4578 is the number. And I'm waiting here to hear from you. I went out and bought Pooh a Daisy BB gun today so that she can practice shooting that BB gun before she gets into her new 22 long rifle that we purchased for her. When I was 6 years old, my father bought me my first 22 rifle, and now that my daughter is 6 years old, I have purchased for her first 22 rifle. It's the old Winchester Gallery style, but it's a Rossi and brand new. And but before she fires that 22, I want to make sure that she knows what she's doing, and so she can practice with a BB gun. And I just got that for her today, so probably this weekend she will begin her training in respect. Well, she already has. She's already been trained to respect weapons and how to act around weapons and what to do on the firing range and all of that kind of stuff, because she goes with me everywhere. But now she's going to have to learn respect for her own weapon and for people and for living things and all of that kind of stuff, and she will be very well supervised for several years, and I'm sure she'll turn out to be an excellent markswoman. Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, how you doing, Bill?
Good.
Hey, how's everything going up there in God's country?
Oh, it's always going good here, and it is God's country.
Yeah, this is Tom from California. I sure miss that place.
Hi, Tom. How was your trip back?
It was excellent. I hated to leave, but we bought property while we were there.
Yeah.
So we will be back.
Did you get a smoker?
More smoke snake? Not yet. Definitely going to have to get one.
But you're a great connoisseur of smoked snake now, huh?
Smoked snake, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
Better.
Good for you.
Yeah, when we get moved up there, we'll have to have you and Annie and the girls over for some smoked snake.
Well, good.
What's your take on what the coward in chump, I mean, commander-in-chief, is doing over there in the Middle East?
Oh, he's getting elected president. What do you think he's doing? This is all to get elected president. It has nothing to do with us.
Exactly. I
mean, 2 months ago, the same thing was going on. Nobody gave a damn about it. It's going on in other countries around the world. Nobody cares.
I like the way our congressmen are sitting real quiet, like, well, aren't we supposed to declare war around here? No, saying a word about him sending our troops over as usual.
They're stooges, and it's not a war. It's a farce, and it's really pretty silly, to tell you the truth, except for the fact that they're actually killing people.
You think the missiles are hitting Baghdad, or we think we're just making clouds of smoke out in their sand piles?
No, I think some people are probably getting killed. You got to kill somebody because, I've been in the military, and everybody's sitting around waiting to kill somebody, and that's really what it's all about.
I'm beginning to wonder if he's got a twofold purpose in this. Number one, like you said, to make himself look good for this new presidential election. And
absolutely. It's very presidential for a president to use the military, and American sheeple just seem to love it.
Well, the second thing he may have in mind is we can blame some more terrorist activities here in the United States on, the Iraqis.
No, they really want to blame all the terrorist incidents on patriots and militia.
Well, that seemed to be their forte in the past.
Well, no, but the target is the patriots and militia. That's who they want to blame it on. That's who they will blame it on, unless they're forced to blame it on somebody else because they can't get out of it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'll let you go, Bill, so somebody else can get in.
Okay.
Take her easy.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, folks, if you haven't discovered it yet, the target is us. The target is us. They can't have their new world order if they've got people who are willing to die for principles and ideals and for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, creator-endowed rights, and for what this great nation has given to the world. You know, as long as we're around, we're a threat to their new world order. We're a threat to everything that they want to do. We're a threat to Marxist totalitarian socialist government. We're a threat to disarmament of all peoples, which they want to do. They can't control the world if there are people that are armed and will go up against them. They want to keep the technology and the power. Remember what Mao Zedong said, all power emanates from the barrel of a gun. And he was right. He was absolutely right. And any people who are disarmed have no power whatsoever. And don't you ever believe this baloney about you have the power of the vote. You fall into that trap, you're in dangerous water. I mean, you're in white water going under, and it's racing because the snow is melting. It's hot. And the river is overflowing the banks, and you're right in the center there, and there's some big boulders right in your way. You're going to smack right into them at about 40 miles an hour. Let's see if you survive that. 520-333-4578 is the number. And I don't care what you want to talk about. You can talk about anything. But if I don't get some calls pretty quick, I'm just going to sign off the air. And that will be the end of the second hour of the Hour of the Time. And I mean it, folks. I got to get calls every night when I open the phones. If I don't, there is no point to going beyond an hour on this broadcast. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. Tony from Illinois. How you doing?
Good.
So, let me ask you, what's your take on the Russians in this whole situation? The other night, you were reading a quote by Gorbachev to the Politburo saying that, don't be worried, we're going to lull the Westerners into a sleep, and then we're going to pounce on them when their guard is down. How do the Russians basically feel about the New World Order?
They love it. That's always been their goal, totalitarian socialist government.
Well, then why would Gorbachev, reveal that where it could be caught by the Western press and the Western...
Because the Western press is controlled by them. Haven't you caught on to that yet? That's why I called them the Communist News Networks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not joking when I say that. Yeah, a lot of people think I'm making a joke. I'm not making a joke. I'm deadly serious.
I just look at it when Gorbachev talks like that. I mean, doesn't that make the elite, the Western elite, feel that there could be a double cross somewhere in the end?
No, that's exactly what they want. They all want a totalitarian socialist government.
One big happy.
Read their writings. Listen to their speeches. I'm talking about the elite in this country. When I say that we're being done in from within, that the enemy's right here, I'm not kidding you.
Oh, yeah.
It's the truth.
It's unbelievable. It is just unbelievable that something like that can be let out. I mean, that's that quote that you read the other night, that's been around for a while.
Well, wait a minute. You say that it's remarkable that it can be let out. It was never let out until guys like me told guys like you what they said. Because nobody was listening. Nobody's listening to them today, except guys like me, who then tell guys like you.
Well, we appreciate that.
So it never was let out. Most American people don't listen to anything. All they want to know is what time does what's her name Roseanne come on, and how many beers do I have left in the fridge, and how can I get laid, and how much money is it going to take, and how hard do I have to work this week to get it.
Perestroika Deception by Golenitsyn or whatever. I mean, some of those books have been out since the early 80s, haven't they?
It's all true. Nobody will believe it. It is all true. Have you read Perestroika?
No, I haven't.
Why not?
Oh, no. It's
been out for a long time.
Wait, you're talking Gorbachev?
Yeah, Gorbachev's book, Perestroika.
I've read some excerpts from it.
No, read the book. He tells you the truth in there.
He tells you about economic... what is it called? Economic democracy.
He tells you the whole truth in there. He tells you the whole fall of the Soviet Union was a scam. There's going to be world government just like the communists have always wanted. He tells you right in that book, communism is not dead. It's just lurking, waiting until we gain our victory.
Have you ever heard of the Jones Act?
You see, Joseph McCarthy was right.
Oh, I know. I agree.
They destroyed him because he was right.
Exactly.
If he wasn't right, they wouldn't have done anything to him. He was routing out the communists in government who infiltrated this government and were destroying it from within. Since they destroyed him, they've taken over this government.
And now they're in there really tight, and they're really undercover.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Jones Act at all?
Yeah. Of course I have.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're a seaman of a type.
That's right.
I had a maritime guy tell me today that Gore is trying to get that thing repealed, and it's going to destroy the maritime industry of this country.
Well, if you got it repealed, it would sure hurt the maritime industry, and it would take away some of the protection of all seafaring men, including those in the Navy and the Coast Guard.
Well, he's talking about, you know, Philippine tugs manned by Philippine hands running up and down the Mississippi. And
I know. They want to make this this world government a truly diversified and multicultural thing. And they're going to do everything they can to make it happen. And I got to tell you right now, if America... Oh, never mind. Anyway.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578. You know, it's amazing. There's nothing hidden. It's all out in the open. And yet people are surprised when they hear these things. It's always been there. And what I gave you over the last three nights, ladies and gentlemen, is very little tiny portion. I mean teensy, tiny, 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 tiny. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Bill. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Let you know that in Norfolk, Virginia,
uh-huh.
Okay, that's where I'm calling from, that Freedom Radio on 107.3 FM, we are rebroadcasting you, and we do it every single night.
Great.
Yes, and we have good coverage, probably about 10 miles,
uh-huh.
Our coverage in Norfolk here.
The Navy base here?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's 107 point what?
107.3 FM.
0.3 FM, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we podcast good. In stereo.
Good. If the Navy base is listening, I want to tell all you sailors out there that you are being led by traitors. The highest officers in the military of this country have turned traitor. They're helping to take this country down the tubes.
Yeah.
You better listen. Better listen, folks, if you're in the military.
The whole naval base hears you. The amphib base hears you here at the Norfolk Little Creek amphib base.
Yep.
We hear you down there.
Great.
So, yeah, we just give you a report that we listen to you. We broadcast you every single night. Faithful listener.
You know that there's a secret radio network throughout the military that rebroadcasts tapes of this broadcast and live broadcasts at the hour of the time from plane to plane and installation to installation and communication center to communication center.
Is that right?
That is exactly right.
Okay, we have more.
Warms my heart. I would tell you more about it, but
I
can't do that.
I understand. On the air, right. Okay, well, that's strange. But anyway, keep up the good work, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Okay, sir.
There are elements of the military forces of the United States who do honor their oath to the Constitution and will take up arms in support of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, will bring their men and equipment solidly over to the side of the militia when the proverbial buffalo chip hits the fan, and that should warm all of your hearts, but it does not alleviate any of you from your responsibility to prepare and be ready to take action when the time comes, and the time will come. It will not be of our doing. We are not terrorists. We are not blowing anybody up, and we are not killing anybody, and we don't want to. But if we're forced to protect freedom and to protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, we will not hesitate. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
Honored to talk to you, sir. You're a godsend.
Thank you.
I was just wondering about codename Iron Mountain. I have a video about it, and then I heard...
Well, it's not a code name. It's an actual location, and it's a place where corporations store valuable records. And they started that many years ago, and there was supposedly everybody thought there was a possibility that we would be attacked by the Soviet Union with atomic weapons. And that was to preserve valuable records, patents, and things like that.
I see. Well, I heard people on National Public Radio saying that it was all a hoax and it was all set up and it was all a fake thing.
What was?
The Iron Mountain, the whole Iron Mountain, that it was written by, I can't remember who.
You talking about the report from Iron Mountain?
Yes.
Well, the report from Iron Mountain is completely different from Iron Mountain. Iron Mountain is a facility where corporations store their records. The report from Iron Mountain is something entirely different, and it is not a hoax. It is not a scam. If you read it and look at when it was written and compare what has happened since then, you will see that it is absolutely 100% true, and everything that was discussed in that report has been implemented and is at work upon the American people.
That's exactly what I thought, and just to hear these people saying that it was a hoax and it was all fake, and it sounded so...
Listen to me. The media is controlled by the enemies of the republic.
Definitely true.
Do you understand that?
I do, and thank God for you. I'm calling from Vermont, and I'm glad we can pick you up.
Well, I'm glad you can pick me up, too, but there'll come a day when we won't be able to pick anybody up.
Well, we'll drive out there and get you.
Well, you won't need to. We're pretty well taken care of here.
Well, that's great.
We'll let them know we're here. I'll guarantee you that.
Great. It's good to talk to you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Viper, Texas.
Hi.
The woman the other night about the problem with her TV screen,
uh-huh,
tried to get in. The best remedy for that is to hang an American flag across the front of the screen.
By golly, that's an excellent idea. That is just fantastic. I love that idea, and you get the smooch of the night.
Oh, thank you. The other night you mentioned, I didn't understand what you were saying. You were looking for a 44 mag. Were you looking for a rifle?
No, Annie, I didn't mean it. No! Don't beat me no more! Ah! Oh, God! Ah! Oh, thanks, Pooh. Oh, Pooh finally drug her off. Hello?
Annie?
Yes?
Tell Annie I'm married.
I'm just joking. It's just a joke, folks.
Yes. Did you hear my question?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I was busy getting beat up.
Beat up. You mentioned the other night about looking for a 44 mag.
Yeah, a rifle.
A rifle. Any particular make and model?
No, I like to shop and really look at, I really know rifles really well. I'm not a real great pistol person, but I've been a rifle person all my life. I'll know it when I feel it, and I'll know it when I work the action. I want a lever action, that's for sure. And it'll probably be in the Browning or Marlin or something like that. It's got to be a repeater. But why? Did you have something in mind?
Well, I was just going to say, you may have to come to Texas to film the gun shows down here to find something like that.
Well, I might have to. You know, they don't even have them around here anymore. Well, that's not true. They just had one at the Elks Club over in Sholo, but it was a little bitty gun show. It wasn't really much there. And we went to the one in Henderson, Nevada this last weekend, and that was...
That should have been a good one.
Well, it was pretty big, but there was not one single 44 caliber, 44 Magnum rifle in that whole gun show. I looked at every rifle in there. There was not one.
Well, we go to Houston a lot. I just thought I'd keep my eyes peeled.
Yeah. I've got a 44 Magnum rifle. It's a Winchester 92 Trapper model. But it's, you know, you hold it up and shake it, and it sounds like a sack of marbles, and I just hate that. I can't stand it. That's not the way a gun is supposed to be made.
I believe we got rid of one for the same reason about 4 years ago. So.
Yeah, it's accurate. It shoots well. It works fine. I just don't like that. I like craftsmanship. I like it the way it's supposed to be, and that is not the way a rifle is supposed to be.
Okay, well, I just want to come up with that suggestion. And
That's why people look for pre-64 Winchesters, because after 64, they just weren't worth a nickel after that.
Okay, well, everybody that's listening to you probably should have a flag, so I just thought that was a good remedy.